out there, and we have a small gift for you, and you can answer a few questions. We just want to know who you are. We want to get to know you better. So we're so thankful for our guests. Praise God. And it's so good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, we want to go before the Lord in prayer tonight, and I'm sure that there's many needs in here tonight. As we look around and our world is full of chaos, amen, and it gets more and more frustrating as we see things kind of declining and falling apart, and we just don't know what to do. And I believe with all my heart that the enemy is kind of in blitz mode. If you know what a blitz is, if you ever watch a football game, it's that play where they just try to sneak a rush upon the quarterback, right? And they're just trying to catch him off guard. And I think that's what our enemy, he's so desperate right now. Amen. He's so desperate right now that he's just trying to do whatever he can just to do that last little push. But I got news for the enemy. Our God, amen, the Bible says he's all-knowing. It's hard to play a game of chess against somebody who knows the moves already, amen. There's nothing new under the sun. God knows everything that we are going to do and everything that the enemy is going to try before he even tries it. Praise God. So I believe with all my heart that as chaotic as it seems in this world today, that God is in control and he is about ready to do something great. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So as we pray, we want to pray for our leaders. We want to pray for those who are sick tonight. We want to pray for those who couldn't be here tonight, and we want to continue to lift up our pastor as he continues to minister. I know he was not feeling well Sunday, and he's here tonight, and we're thankful for that. We just want God to wrap his arms around him. Amen. Praise God. And if you have a need, we want to pray for that need tonight. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you, God. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to be here in your presence, Lord. God, we're so thankful, God, that we could come into your house, Lord God, and be in your presence, God, to get a chance, Lord God, to bask in your goodness, Lord God. And I just pray, God, that you would have your way in this place tonight. I pray, God, that your spirit would move upon each one of us here tonight, Lord God. Lord God, we come in here. Some of us are tired, Lord God. We've worked a long week. Some of us are carrying burdens, Lord God, that only you and them know about, God. But I pray, God, that you, Lord God, would move upon the situations in their lives. I pray, God, that you would open doors, Lord God, that you would minister, Lord, in a mighty way. God, we thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We thank you, God, for what you're going to do, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Praise God. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Praise God. And if you have an offering, we have some special boxes posted by our entrances in the sanctuary, or you can mail in your offering, or you can go on our website, which is actually a Church Center app. Excuse me, not a website. You can go on the Church Center app and you can give there. Praise God. All right, listen up because this is new. We have some needs for volunteers. The Sunday school department, the children's ministry department are in desperate need for children's ministry teachers. So if you are interested, please go on the Church Center app and fill out an application, or you can see Brother Brandon and Sister Arian, Matt, for details. Due to the teaching shortage, there will be no three-year-old class for the next two Sundays. And here's some good news. We have a Christmas play practice coming up at Wednesday, September the 20th. So those who are thinking about being in the Christmas play, if you are in the grades kindergarten through sixth grade, make plans to be there or have your children there. Kids, get in the car, drive yourself to church. Just kidding. Praise God. Let's worship together. Amen. All right.
Above all names, the one who reigns forever, still the same. Praise the above all names, the one who reigns forever, still the same, praise the name. No other name that's higher, no other name that's stronger, no other name. Forever I will praise the name. No other name can heal us, no other name can free us, no other name so precious. Let's praise the name. No other name that's higher, no other name that's stronger, no other name. Forever I will praise the name. No other name can heal us, no other name can free us, no other name so precious. Let's praise the name. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Praise the name above all names, the one who reigns forever, still the same. Praise the precious. Let's praise the name. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Every nation, all creation, we proclaim your name. I've got nothing new. could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, but you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing. Just one move, with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. All that I have is a your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of your lungs. Get up. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of your songs. Get up and praise the Lord. Yeah. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord, oh yes, Jesus, So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We're gonna shout your praise, Jesus. Cause you are so great, Jesus. Oh. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing,
God. Praise God. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, that we can be in your presence. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, since you're standing, I'm going to go ahead and read the word tonight. I thank you for being here. Praise God. I believe God's doing great things, and I believe that God has great plans. And I believe that inside of each one of us, there's something that just wants to bust out and break out and do something great for God. Amen. I believe it. I believe it. I know I'm feeling it. Praise God. If you have your swords, please turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 139. And we're going to read 13 and 14. The Bible says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." And if you wouldn't mind turning one more scripture to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We're going to read 9 through 11. Praise God. This is one we like to get excited about, and we should. The Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him," amen, "who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light," amen, "which in times past were not a people, but now the people of God," hallelujah, we have an identity, amen, "which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." Please turn to your neighbor and say, "Pilgrim." Say it like the Duke. Pilgrim. You may be seated. Praise God. It's family night, so I'm trying to have a little fun. Pastor's not in here, so don't rat me out, all right? Praise God. Every time you wake up in the morning, one of the first things you do is to make a trip to the bathroom, if you're like me. And when you get to the bathroom, as you're going about your morning ritual, you pass by the reflective glass that is hung above your vanity, and you see your all-too-familiar, beautiful face staring back at you. And you're not startled in this process, as you are all-too-familiar with who you are. You are familiar with your identity. And that's what we're talking about tonight. With the help of the Lord, I want to talk to you about identity. Here we go, John. What's in a name? He was asking me my title. I forgot it. Praise God. Identity, what's in a name? When we talk about your identity, we first need to look into who we actually are, and more specifically, who we are in Jesus Christ. Amen. Your identity is a big deal. I say it one more time. Your identity is a big deal. God gives it. The world denounces it. The devil wants it. Your identity is a big deal. There's a famous quote spoken by Juliet in Acts 2, scene 2, of the famous William Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet, where Juliet says, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." Some of you know it. A person's name is the greatest connection to their own identity and individuality. Some might say it's the most important word in the world to that person. It is the one way that we can easily get someone's attention. Hey, you. That doesn't always work, but we say, hey, Nicole. It's my wife. Praise God. It's the sign of courtesy and the way we recognize them. The one defining characteristics we all share, the one unique and profound element of each and every one of us is the name that we are given. From the reason to why we are given such a name, to historical lineage and significance of what a name has come to represent, our name, beyond its objective purpose, encompasses what and who each of us is. Its essence is at the very heart of our existence. It signified the tribe you came from. It represented the language and dialect you spoke, and it made others aware of the region you came from and grew into characterizing the nationality you came from. It effectively describes us in a manner more than we truly understand or choose to realize. It was the mark you put down when you came to the new world, the signature that you put down to make your home yours, and the last thing that was ever read at the end of a letter by the one that you loved. Your name is utterly more powerful and significant than simply the characters that represent it. It represents every transaction you make, from banknotes to ownership, business relations to paychecks, from marriage to authorship and beyond. And in a growing world based in text and online search and social profiles, the purpose of your name has expanded and become more imperative than ever before. It simply doesn't represent who you are. It is who you are. Church, I'm talking about your identity tonight, all right? The world we live in can make us feel less and less significant, whittling you down to make you feel like you're just a number. I remember when I was a young child and my dad worked at Marshall Erdman. Shout out to Brother Repka. Brother Repka worked at Marshall Erdman too when my dad worked there, so that's why I said that. I remember watching my father and all the other people. They were given jobs. They were given careers complete with pension plans and benefits that gave employees security. But nowadays, corporate American jobs are a lot less generous. They strip benefits and salaries, And as people retire or leave, we are seeing a redistribution of workloads. Less people are being expected to do more work and taking away from that person's ability to making employees feel like they're just a number. Has anybody ever felt that way? I know I have. Now we go to Walmart. What do? We check out our own groceries. We have to self-checkout. And I'm sure that some of you don't mind that, but it's just becoming more and more impersonal. After serving in the children's ministry for over 20 years, I can tell you one thing's for sure, and that is our children are an investment. Can I get an amen? All right. Praise God. We love our kids here at Calvary Gospel Church. Not just a number. And when they enter into this world, they take on our identities. As a father, I want to see the identity carried on through my son. No pressure, son. But you're the I only got one son and two daughters, so I'm just saying, no pressure, okay? Praise God. Even in the Bible, you can look up the very meaning of names and find the depth. A good source of doing this is the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. It's a huge book. It sounds as exhausting as it is, which can break down the word for word each and every translation or meaning behind every word or name written in God's Word. As the Bible was originally translated from Greek and Hebrew into the English language. So, for instance, if I open up my Bible and if I'm reading a word in there and I see a name or a word, I can go to the Exhaustive Concordance and cross-reference it, and it'll tell me not only the meaning of the word, but in what form they were using it, because through the translation from Greek and Hebrew into English, there can be some lost translation there. So as we do this, we can take a closer look at these names that we see in the Bible. We look at Eve in the Bible in the book of Genesis, and I look up her name, and it means life giver, very appropriate for Eve, as she was the first woman. We look up Seth. It means the third son of Adam. Have you ever looked up the meaning of your name? Have you ever Googled your name? My name is Rick. My family has always called me Rick or Ricky, but I'm not sure if you know this, but my legal name is Eric Christopher Solberg, and it's a very Norwegian name. I'm named after my great-grandfather on my grandmother's side, Eric Christopher Paulsen. My father, who was a purebred Norwegian from the old country, he broke the streak when he married my mother. He married Sally McCoy, or Agnes, if you're so brave to call her. And yes, she is a descendant of the famous McCoy family that you've all read about. But don't worry, they must have made up because her best friend in high school was a Hatfield, believe it or not. And for you young people, you don't know who the Hatfields and the McCoys are, you can ask Brother Google. He'll tell you all about it. Or you can probably go on. There's probably documentaries about the big battle that they had. It's probably where my mom got her stubborn streak. Praise God. Anyways, back to the name. Eric is a very Norse name. From my Norwegian side, it means the sole ruler or eternal ruler or ever powerful. That's what it means not in the biblical text, but if you look it up, the meaning of it. While Eric can be traced to Norse origins, several cultures and traditions also lay claim to the name. And I'm sure that we can go around this room and dissect the very who and what and when and where and why of our names and our identities. So again, your identity is a big deal. Amen? Praise God. But what happens when your identity is challenged? When we look in the Bible, if I look at Daniel chapter 1, I keep looking up, that overhead's not there anymore. Chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God. Now, I'm not sure if you're catching what just happened in this passage, but basically God's people were allowed by God to be overtaken by the enemy, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I don't know about you, but the Bible says, that God allowed the enemy to be taken over. And we sit there and we look at that passage and we wonder, why did you allow this? But, you know, sometimes God will allow our enemies to overtake us just to wake us up, amen? That's exactly what was going on in this passage. God was trying to wake up his people. They were falling into sin. They were falling into a slumpful way. So in the Bible, living in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, we find the very identity of some Hebrew children who, for various circumstances, their identity was tried. So I think we can relate to this at times, as the Bible says that in this world is not our home. We are pilgrims and strangers in this world on our way to a new Jerusalem. Amen. Praise God. And at times we feel like, even though we're not from here, and if you're hearing me as a guest tonight, I'm talking about we're going to heaven, praise God. We have a home that is not here, but we're weighing and leaning on the promise of God. We've all been baptized in his name, filled with his spirit, and we know that this world is not our final stop. Praise God. Now, with the new acquisition of the people of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar acquired God's favored. He acquired God's skilled, and he acquired God's wise, and he acquired God's cunning. Excuse me. Somebody say, that's me. That's right. You're favored, skilled, wise, and cunning. Praise God. So if we look at Daniel 1, verse 7, the Bible says, the prince of eunuchs gave names to Daniel. He gave the name Belteshazzar, unto Hananiah, Shadrach, unto Meshach, and unto Azariah, Abednego. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, Daniel, the Bible says, unto Daniel was given the identity of Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar means chief deity of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar recognized God's greatness in Daniel. And the word Daniel means God is judge. Daniel's true identity is that God flows through him, giving him wisdom to judge Daniel's true identity and giving God the glory. Amen? And the three Hebrew children that were cast in the fiery furnace, we all know the story where they were commanded to make that fire seven times more hotter than it's ever been before. I couldn't imagine being in their shoes. Talk about cool heads prevail. Talk about intimidation when your enemy is all around you and you're feeling the pressure to bow down and your enemy wants to rob you of your identity. What choice would you make, church? What choice would you make? When nobody else is around you, not your pastor, not your brothers and sisters in the church, not your family, are you going to cave? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or as some of us know them from VeggieTales, Shaq, Rack, and Benny. Thank you. Shout out to VeggieTales. Now, Shadrach means, you didn't think you'd walk away from here learning anything tonight, did you? Shadrach means command of Aku. Now, Aku was the moon god, all right? Nebuchadnezzar worshipped this moon god. But Shadrach's Hebrew name, Hananiah, means gift from God. Meshach, means who is Aku, the moon god. Again, trying to give glory to Aku. And thank you. And Meshach's true identity, Mishael, means who is what God is. Or if I may, who is like our great and wonderful, amazing God. Amen. So praise God. Let me ask you, do you love him tonight? Amen. Praise God. Is your identity secure in him? Praise God. That's something we all need to ask ourselves. David, when he was being pursued by Absalom, prayed this prayer If we look at Psalms chapter 3, verse 1 through 8, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many are they, which say to my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto you, Lord, with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me, praise God. Even in David's trial, even in being chastened by his enemy, he was able to find rest in the Lord, amen. I will not be afraid of the 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me, around about me. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Praise God. Isn't God good? I say it again. Praise God. And the good news is that we all know the outcome of the story. When their circumstances seemed impossible, even to the very destruction of their identity, and even their identity in their God, that's what the enemy wants. He wants to destroy our identity. He wants to destroy your identity, church. He wants to make us conform to the world and forget about God and his ways, amen? God saw their faithfulness and moved in a miraculous way, which teaches us one thing. Don't let your circumstances dictate your identity. I'm going to say that again. Don't let your circumstances dictate your identity. That little boy in Genesis 37 that we refer to as the dreamer, Joseph, he was born in a family of brothers, invested in by his parents, blessed by God with dreams that he didn't understand. And he had a great identity, but through all that, he was tested. And when he was cast into a pit and sold as a slave by his own brothers, praise God. Don't be surprised if God gives you a dream and you share that with your brothers. Don't be surprised if they don't understand your dream that God gave you. Amen. God may be showing you things because you are on a different level, because you're on a level of sacrifice, and his level of trust may be greater in you. Because God trusts you, and others in your life may not always see that. Praise God. If God shares dreams with you, if God has great plans for you, you can tuck them away like Mary did, and you can share them with your pastor. But just be careful who you share your dreams with. Amen? Because sometimes people will take those dreams and try to use them against you. After being sold as a slave, the Bible says Joseph was later imprisoned for doing what he thought was right. And I'm sure that his faith was tested. But as he stayed faithful to God, God started to do a work. Amen. Let me say it like this. As he thought everything around him was caved in and there was no hope, God started to do a great work. And sometimes in our lives, we can feel that way. We can feel helpless and hopeless. But praise God, we can't just count out God. We need to trust him and know that his ways are higher than our ways. Amen. He has you, his eye on you, and he has a great plan for you. Just stay faithful to him. Praise God. Those dreams that God had invested in Joseph, they did come to pass. And Pharaoh did change Joseph's name to Zaphnath-Paneah. I'm not saying that right, I don't know, but that's how we're going to say it tonight. Genesis 41, verse 45, Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah and gave him a sender daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. You know, I sit here at home and I practice these names because I'm like, surely. But, you know, I get up here and I'm like, I try to read them off and it comes out like jello. But thank you, Jesus. We don't have those names anymore. Those are Egyptian names. Talk about being named after your testimony, though. And Joseph's Hebrew identity is made Jehovah add or give increase. Praise God. Let's talk about our past for a little bit, all right? If you're like me, you got some skeletons in your closet. Or as the old saying, you got some junk in your trunk. One man would say it like this. Everybody's got two testimonies. Hear me on this. You know what I'm talking about. Your first testimony, that's the one that we feel comfortable sharing with everyone, right? Oh, that one time I stole that cookie when nobody was looking, and I repented of it and everything. You know, or that one time I told a little lie, but don't worry about it. It was just a little white lie, you know, but I repented of that. But nobody wants to tell their real testimony, amen? Nobody wants to tell their dirty testimony. Like when God found me, I was hooked on drugs. Or when God found me, I was an alcoholic. Or when God found me, I was hooked on pornography. Nobody wants to share those stories. Or when God found me, I had so much anger and depression and mistrust in my life. Or when God found me, I was so broken and worthless and disgusting that no amount of king's horses or king's men could put old Dumpty back together again. Yeah, you're right. The king's men couldn't, but the King of Kings can. Amen? Come on, somebody. I said the King of all kings, he can put you together again. The Bible tells us that when we repent of our sins, that means to turn away from our sins. And when we're baptized in Jesus' name by immersion in the water, amen, and when we're filled with his Spirit, that God's, and in God's eyes, according to the Bible, our sins are cast, as the book of Psalms says in Psalms 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You may feel that your identity is forever changed, forever sealed because of your past. Well, let me tell you something. Praise God. I got good news for you. If you're here tonight and you're never been to Calvary, if you're here tonight and you're sinning, if, I don't care if you're a backslider, whatever the need is, praise God, I've got hope for you. Amen. God is the creator, the I am that I am, the author, the finisher of our faith. God, in one moment, can forever rewrite your identity. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. He can take out his pen and rewrite your identity. You may say, Brother Solberg, you don't know my story. Well, that's right, but I do know our amazing and awesome God. Amen. I know how he brought me out of the miry clay. He picked me up, and he turned me around, and he placed my feet on solid ground. Praise God. Praise God. We'll look at another character in the Bible, Jacob. We know Jacob from the Old Testament, or Jacob. This poor schlub, the Bible says that his name means heel catcher. As he was being born with his brother, he caught the heel of his brother, and he supplanted him. But we all know him as a cheater or deceiver. This little baby, the Bible, stole his brother's birthright. He stole his brother's blessing, and he was a no good thief, a cheater, and a deceiver in the eyes of his brother. But the Bible tells us that God, the creator, the I am that I am, the author, the finisher of our faith, took Jacob's past and he changed it. In Genesis 32, verse 28, it said, your name shall no more be called Jacob, but I will call you Israel. Israel means he will rule as God, prosperity. For as a prince thou hast thou power with God and with men and hast prevailed. Praise God. When we look at Abraham, the son of an idol maker, his dad was out there making false gods for other people to buy and worship. His name was Abram. The word Abram means exalted father, and Abraham means father of a multitude. The Bible says in the book of Genesis 17:5, he shall no more be called Abraham. His name shall be Abram. It shall be Abraham, a father of many generations have I made thee. Praise God. God wants to change your identity. He has a great plan for your life. He wants to do something great in you. Amen. I'm not sure if you have at home a Bible. It's called the Apostolic Study Bible. But I found a little passage in there one time that I want to share with you tonight. It was written by Brother David Norris. Some of you know him. He's a biblical scholar, very deep man. He's got many good books out there. And in that little passage, Brother Norris wrote a piece called Living in Covenant. In that, he said, "The Lord does not force his will upon us, but rather gives us space to respond. When we freely choose to commit our purpose, to purposely pour ourselves into the loving relationship, the Bible offers a special name for such a commitment, a covenant. You were called to Calvary experience in your life. You repented of your sins. You were baptized in his name. You received his precious spirit. But the world is constantly pulling and tearing at your identity, trying to label you, trying to change your identity. We were called for so much more. When a bride commits in marriage to her husband, she does something traditionally. She takes on the husband's name." Amen. When we're baptized in his name, that's what we're doing. That's why we do it in Jesus' name. We literally take on his identity. Our identity is forever changed. I'm here today to remind the church that we are created for so much more. And no matter what the enemy says, you were made for greatness. Praise God. Even if you've fallen, get back up, repent, and re-enter into a covenant with God. Praise God. He wants that. You know, I can't tell you how many times I feel like I've fallen on my face and I'm like, what in the world just happened? But I'm so thankful we serve a God that I can just repent and come back to him, push that little reset button, and praise God, he's willing to forgive us and help us to move on again. Amen. Don't let the enemy steal your identity. Praise God. If our musicians can come, get you out of here early tonight. Maybe. I still got another three people. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. If our musicians, while they're getting ready, I want to tell you a story. Growing up, I've never been much into football, baseball, track. I did actually do track when I was younger, believe it or not. I don't know if you can believe it. I did shot and disc, okay? No, I wasn't a runner, but I did have to run for the practices. And it was growing up in Rushford, Minnesota, we were right in the bluff country. So we had to run all the way to the top of a bluff, run all the way back down, and that was our warm-up. And then we would go do our practice. So that was a lot. So growing up, I never really got into some of these other sports. But one thing that I was always good at is God has blessed me with strength. And I'm not trying to brag, but I'm just saying I've always been into, like, strength things, seeing who's strong. I look into the history of different strength things, and there's one contest in the strongman world that it's like the pinnacle of all strength. It's called the World's Strongest Man. Have you ever seen it? You look on the TV and you see some impressive where they're like pulling a bus or they're pulling a plane, and you're just like, oh my goodness, what in the world? It's one man doing this. And one day while I was watching these strongman events, I saw a huge and massive man, and his name was Iron Beebe. And I know I've told this story in here before, but I think it applies to identity. You see, Iron Beebe was humongous. He was extremely impressively strong, and he could also do backflips, incredible for his size. And one day, as we all know, we have a good brother here from Burkina Faso. And one day they said that Iron Beebe was from Burkina Faso. So I went to Brother Claude. Shout out to Brother Claude, who's not here right now. And I said, Brother Claude, I proceeded to tell him about Iron Beebe. And I showed him a picture of Iron Beebe. And I said, this guy's from Burkina Faso. And he's like, oh, no, Brother Solberg. He cannot be from Burkina Faso. He would eat all of our food. And I was like, no, Brother Claude, I'm serious. This guy's from Burkina Faso. So I pulled up an article, And I start looking through the article, and I go down to the part where I'm looking for the part where it says he's from Burkina Faso. But before I even got there, I'm kind of reading it, and Brother Claude looks over, and he sees Iron Bibi is what they call him. But see, Brother Claude sees Iron Bibi's true name. He sees his true identity, and he stops me, and he's like, Brother Solberg, he said, you're right. He is from Burkina Faso. How he knew this was he was able to identify him because of his name. You see, our name carries so much, and our identity carries so much. If you would stand. It's so important. It's not just who you are. It's who you are to the world around us. Praise God. I'm not sure of his name. I'm telling a different story now. The Bible's not clear on that. Maybe it was Michael or Terry. I don't know. But I'm sure that when he was born, his mother had big plans for his life. As she sat there looking at her little baby, she probably just stared at his eyes, just like many of us parents have, and just thought about the great things that we have for our children. But I'm not sure at which point his identity changed. Maybe it was from drugs, maybe it was alcohol, maybe he stopped going to church, or maybe he was going to church, but he just checked out mentally. I don't know. The Bible doesn't cover this. But we just know him by the name Legion. All right? And we don't know much about Legion, but when we read in Mark, I believe it's chapter 5, verse 6, we can look at the life of Legion, and it says that he lived in cemeteries. That's how people knew him. He was identified by the devils that were in him. He was a man that was totally not living for God. He was a man who was totally crazy. He was living in cemeteries and mountains, and people would just comment about how crazy this man is. And surely, by his new identity, he had no way of ever being saved. Amen. But praise God, I have good news. One day, Jesus, church, one day, by the presence of God, Jesus didn't come into that island where Legion was and say, Legion, come here. No. And I'm going to tell you, everything that was within Legion was trying to hold him back. I guarantee you that. But when Legion got into the presence of God, amen, he was ready for his identity to be restored, amen. Praise God. There was nothing that was going to hold him back. Praise God. When we come to this altar, when we come with an open heart, when we say, Lord, I'm here in your presence, God. I want you to do a great work in my life, God. Maybe you've fallen down like Legion. Maybe your identity doesn't feel the same as it used to be. I don't care what it is. We're not playing games here. We're talking about heaven and hell. I don't care where you're at or what mistakes you've made. Praise God. You can come to this altar. You can come and receive God's identity. You can come and receive restoration. Praise God. This is a judgment-free zone. Nobody's a mind reader. We don't know why you come up here. Praise God. You can come up here and just lay your heart down before him. Maybe you're going through some struggle, some trial, something. Or maybe you just want to have God do some great work in your life and you don't know where to begin. Brother Jerry's been up here pleading for people to do great things and to go out and we're trying to orchestrate a great revival, but it's going to take laborers, amen. It's going to take you and it's going to take me, and I'm preaching at myself on that. My wife knows. Praise God. Because sometimes we sit there and we doubt ourselves, right? We do. We think, why me? Why would God want to use me? What am I going to do? But God can use you, church. God wants to use you. All he's looking for you to do is to put one foot in front of your other and come down to the altar and say, Jesus, I submit to you. I'm praying, God, that you would use me. And go talk to Brother Jerry and he'll hook you up. Shout out to Jerry. Praise God. This area, this altar area is open. As they begin to sing, we're going to pray right now. I just want to ask that God would touch you. I want to ask that you would allow him. It may be, you know, I don't know what situation you have, whatever you're overcome with. Go ahead and find an elder or an altar worker and just ask them to pray with you right now. God wants to do great things in this church. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of every praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Your heart and lead me in your
Praise God. Well, as we close and as we each go our own way, I want to remind you that we have service this Sunday morning at 10 a.m., 9:30 prayer. Praise God. 9:30 prayer. I say it again. 9:30 prayer if you want to be blessed. Amen. What do you come? 9:30 prayer. Praise God. God wants to do a great work. And sometimes we have to come and do the battle before. Amen. Praise God. And we also have a service at 11 o'clock. So at 10 a.m. is our Sunday school. 11 o'clock is our church, normal church service. Praise God. Let's greet one another as we head out the door. And, yeah, I'm going to stop. Love you guys.